Joining us now are two veterans in the business. Richard Prince is copy editor for The Washington Post. He also writes an online column, Prince's Journalisms, for the Maynard Institute. He joins us from our studios in Washington, D.C. And Eleanor Ruth Tatum is editor-in-chief of the New York Amsterdam News, one of the leading black weekly newspapers in the country. She joins us here in our New York bureau. I thank you both for joining us. Let me start with what a lot of people have been talking about over the course of the last few weeks, and that's the cancellation of BET News. And I should, by full disclosure, by now many of the regular listeners know, obviously I worked and anchored that program for years and years over at BET. Richard, let me start with you. What does this say, if anything, the cancellation of that news program?
Well, I think it says a lot about BET and the market they're going after. I think it says sends an unfortunate signal to the younger viewers of BET about the importance of news and public affairs and knowing about the world around you. And I think it sends a message also to other media outlets that there's an opening there that they should take advantage of.
Yet, Eleanor, let me turn my attention to you running the Amsterdam News, as we say, a historic African-American newspaper. But like many, you face many challenges in today's economy. And quite frankly, and we just did a story about the Chicago Defender last week, the problems that they've been having in Chicago. It is a tremendous challenge to try to put out a black newspaper based on competition with other locals and the dollar difference, frankly, in terms of trying to compete.
Yes, it is a great challenge, but it's something that we must continue to challenge ourselves with, because if we allow our communities not to be served by news, then we are just as bad as these networks that are canceling news shows that focus on the black community. Our communities need to know what's going on. They need to be informed. They need information so that they can make decisions to better their own lives. And what I see is, I don't see it necessarily as a problem of BET, but I mean, their parent company, Viacom. They're the ones that are ultimately deciding what's going to happen with BET. And if we look at what's happening with news in general, when it comes to the black community, they're trying to give us less and less.
Well, and that being said, we should note, in fairness, the erosion of news at Black Entertainment Television. You saw that even before Viacom took over, but you're right. Ultimately, they are the arbiters of what goes on and what does not.
Right, but you see it everywhere. You know, if we look at television across the city, across New York City, Bill McCreary used to have an hour show. It went to 5 minutes several years ago, and then it disappeared. Gil Noble's show, they've been trying to get off the air for ages. I mean, things like this, where you just keep on getting less and less and liquefying it.
Richard, how much is the community to blame, the viewer, the listener, in not supporting in sheer numbers these kinds of program? And what's the rub when they say, well, the reason we don't is that they don't give me what I need. It's a warmed over newscast. It's old news in the newspapers, etc.
Well, I think you're on to something there. I don't think that the readers are to blame. I think that, the saying, if you build it, they will come. I think that the black media have to be more aggressive in pursuing readers and viewers and news consumers. If you give the people what they want in the form that they want it, I think they will be successful.
But how do you do that if your budget does not allow it?
Well, therein lies the rub. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to, first of all, I think if you take advantage of such forums as the internet, for example, which are less expensive to produce, if you combine resources, a lot of people have said for years that perhaps the black press, for example, should do more about consolidating not only their editorial content, which they've done a lot with the news service, but a lot of the business operations. You can economize in cost, because this is ultimately about business.
Eleanor, how realistic is that, though, when you've had for years people who are kings of their castle? They're not going to, frankly, want to consolidate, are they?
No, they won't. I think the only way to do that, consolidation will only work by buying different newspapers out. And that may happen from generation to generation when the younger people don't necessarily want to take over their family's legacy. But the publishers that are there right now, a lot of them, they have no interest in combining operations with someone else. I mean, I do believe that through the National Newspaper Publishers Association and their news service, there are some things that can be done, but I do not see a grand consolidation like we've seen in the quote-unquote mainstream media, which I think is in some ways very good because it gives autonomous voices across this country and not one voice. But at the same time, we do need that strong one voice. And, you know, those are one, things that we are working with at the NNPA to be able to have a unified front on certain issues.
Is there, save the question, Richard, of dollars, a need to demand certain expectations of many of these organizations?
Oh, definitely. Let me just give you some figures here. I'm in Washington, as you said. The black newspapers here, the African-American newspapers in Washington, D.C., the weeklies, none of them claims a circulation higher than 50,000. The Washington Post reaches 437,700 African-Americans every day, 638,400 on Sunday. That's a big difference. What we've seen in the broadcast area are these large companies coming in and swallowing up the BETs, and if the kings in their little kingdoms in the black press aren't careful, they could see the same thing happening in print.
And save Radio One, owned by the Hughes family, and their offshoot now in television, TV One, and Tom Joyner, you do see a lot of that consolidation bought by white companies, and in particular, black radio, which used to be the bastion of news traveling in our community. With about a minute left, Eleanor, let me ask you, what do you see as the future, specifically for you, your newspaper, and what would you like to do to try to gain more muscle in the market, if you will?
Well, things that we have done is we've just recently hired an executive editor, Jamal Watson, who is doing a fantastic job and bringing stronger news content to the newspaper. While doing that, we're trying to beef up our advertising and whatnot, and we will be coming up with a marketing plan that's really going to hopefully change the outreach that we're doing. And I think over the next few years, you're going to see some great things from the Amsterdam News. We're 95 years old now, and, you know, we're looking forward to our 100th.
Richard, very quickly for me, very quickly, do you expect to see a national newscast with a black perspective anytime soon?
I don't know. That would be nice. TV One might be a nice candidate for that, but they say that's down the road for them because of the cost. Mm-hmm. We do have the Black Family Channel. They have put their national newscast on hiatus, but I expect to see that return as well.
All right. Richard Prince in Washington, copy editor on the foreign desk of the Washington Post, and here in New York, Eleanor Ruth Tatum, editor-in-chief of the New York Amsterdam News. I thank you both very much. Greatly
appreciate
it.
Thank you.